see out tonight. Again, there's some folks that I don't recognize from the last 2 days, so I'll introduce myself. My name's Dave Spurgeon, and it's a real privilege to be here, and I appreciate the good spirit. You've made it easy to preach, and I appreciate it.
Amen.
And so praise the Lord. There's this account of flood coming through an area, and some people were driven to rooftops to not drown. They couldn't get out any other way, and there was 10 men and one woman on the roof of this building, and the water was rising and the water was rising, and finally a helicopter came by and lowered a rope down and rescued them, taking them to safety, and so they all grabbed on the rope, all 11 of them, and started to take off, and of course it was easy to see that it wasn't going to be able to support them all, and they kind of determined real fast that. And the captain yelled down and said, there are so many pounds overweight, and if one person, they determined if one person would let go, then the rest could get to safety. And there wasn't any volunteers. Amen. They're out over the water now. And so the woman, she spoke up. She spoke up and she said something like this. She said, I will voluntarily let go of the rope because, you know, I face it. As a woman, I'm used to giving up everything for others, for men and children and everything like that. And I might as well just be the one. I'm used to making sacrifices. And so I'll voluntarily let go so all you can get to safety. So then all the men started clapping. And that's a smart girl right there. Amen. Amen. So, you know, what's interesting, a song leader tonight brought up something real apropos tonight. There is more sound doctrine in them old-fashioned hymnals than there is in them new Bibles.
Amen.
Amen. I like church that sings the old hymns.
Amen.
And I cringe when I see someone step up to the microphone and nod to the sound man for the music to start playing. Because I've seen people with the best of intentions with songs that might have had lyrics that sounded godly, but maybe it's because I was out there so long. Let me tell you what. You can say Jesus 100 times in a song, and if the devil's playing the music, it's the devil's music. So I appreciate that and wanted to say that. Take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. We're going to look at a bunch of scriptures here, and then I'll try to preach. You couldn't hear me? Who couldn't hear me tonight? Amen.
It's not an amplifier.
Thank you, brother. Good, because God already gave me one of them. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, why are you so loud? I said, well, I don't know. It might have something to do with I'm about 70% deaf. And they said, well, maybe you should look into getting hearing aids. I went, why would I do that? I'm a preacher. Amen. Could you imagine Brother Spurgeon sharing the love of Jesus? I mean, who would? Nobody. I wouldn't even come across the street to hear it. Deuteronomy 34 tonight, in verse 9, the Bible says this. For Joshua, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Amen. He was full. Notice, he is full of the spirit of wisdom. I tell you what, that'd be a good thing to be full of right there.
That's right.
Going over to Job chapter 14. Go to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Let's look at verse 1. Job chapter 14 and verse 1. The Bible says this. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Now, as far as I know, now I'm not on the cutting edge of scientific technology, but as far as I know, that statement, it says, man that is born of a woman, that sums it up pretty good still. They're not cranking them out of test tubes yet, are they? I don't doubt they're working on it, and I don't doubt we got a government that'd probably be happy to fund it. Amen, as long as they'd vote for them.
Yeah.
But now I know some folks that look like they crawled out from under a rock, but and probably the upset about me at times past, but here's what it says. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Take your Bible, now go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, and you'll see the pattern here if you don't already. Here you have Matthew 23. I love these verses. Let's start in verse 24. Here you have the smooth talking Jesus sharing the gospel. You know, people say, you guys preach too hard. Well, I'll tell you what, we don't even scratch the surface of the way Lord Jesus Christ preached. Amen. Here's what he says, verse 24, ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow camel. I'll tell you what, I've been saved long enough now. I know some people that sums it up pretty good. I'll tell you what we're guilty of doing sometimes is making a bigger deal out of some things than God ever did.
All right, amen.
Amen. And you got to be careful. That goes wrong. That goes the other way, too. The Bible says to be led of the Spirit. So that's who needs to be leading. But here he's rebuking the religious crowd. And he says to him, verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. I bet that made them feel warm and fuzzy inside right there. Amen. Boy, these days people go to church, they want to go in and then leave having been talked to so that they might feel better about themselves.
Right. Amen.
That's what the social gospel's about. And the cathedrals that I pass driving around this country, giant churches packed with thousands and thousands and thousands of people, man. That's what they go in for, and that's what they get. Somebody asked me, say, Brother Spurgeon, what do you think one of the problems is with the Laodicean church? People already feel too good about themselves.
Amen.
Need to feel better about Jesus Christ. My Bible said before, honor is humility. John the Baptist said in John 3 and verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. We got it backwards in this day and age. I'm not preaching on any of that. I just can't read those verses without saying something about it. Here's what he said. Woe unto you, Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are, look at it, full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Amen. If you got some other verses over in Acts 11, it says Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Over in Acts chapter 13, it says that Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost, but the fellow he was dealing with was full of all subtlety and all mischief. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. And then in Romans 15 and 14, it says, full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also able to admonish one another. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Well, that's a sampling. The phrase is used in a lot of times in your Bible, and in a lot of ways, some in just the verses that we looked at. You had some filled with wisdom and the Holy Ghost and faith and goodness. That'd be the list to be on.
Yeah, that's right.
But a bunch of them filled with trouble and hypocrisy, iniquity. I mean, full of the devil. The question tonight and the message tonight is real simple. What are you full of?
Amen.
What are you full of tonight? Let's pray. Father, I do love you. I thank you, God, for these folks that have come out to the church house tonight. Father, this day and age, we have a hard time getting them in on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And what a blessing it is to me to see folks come out on Tuesday night. And it's a great witness in the neighborhood, too. People are watching. And boy, they're going to be fully convinced by next Sunday night that this church is full of a bunch of fanatics. And truth of the matter is, most people are fanatical about something. And God, thank you, Lord, that you let us get excited about Thee. And one of the verses that was read, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Father, I'm saying so. I'm glad to be saved.
Amen.
And I'm not just that. I'm glad to be around saved people. And I thank God for the Spirit of God that bears witness. And it doesn't matter if we're from different parts of the country and we do some things just slightly different. Lord, we got a lot in common. And we know what it is. And it's you.
Amen.
Oh, my soul, Lord. Help me tonight say something that'll be a help. Maybe be a warning. Maybe a reproof or a rebuke. Maybe just cause someone to purpose in their heart to be filled with the right stuff. That there might be vessels meet for the Master's use in the days to come. Father, my prayer is that you'd be pleased with us tonight, with everything that goes on here tonight on both sides of the pulpit. I need you to help me say anything that's going to be even remotely according to thy will. But Father, the hearer needs your help too, to hear what the Spirit has to say. And God, if it could be that way, we'll sure thank you for it. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now just three things. That's a big question, and it's a big Bible. What are you full of? So we got a little look at some verses, but I'm going to narrow it down to give you a couple Bible examples and things that seem relevant and prevalent in the day and age in which we live. So at number one here tonight, go to Colossians chapter 1, and then once you get there, go over to chapter 4. I said it wrong. Colossians chapter 4, and let's look at a fella here. And see what the Bible has to say about him. Colossians chapter 4. And let's look in verse 14. Colossians chapter 4 tonight, verse 14, the Bible says this. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Amen. As was Paul's habit as he's signing off this epistle to the church at Colossae, he mentions his traveling companions. Luke, of course, was with him, amen, for many times right up until his execution in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so no marvel that he's there, but you got first mention of another fella here. And he's a traveling companion of Luke and Paul here, and his name's Demas. Take your Bible, go over to Philemon. Philemon. When I preach at a church that has a Bible Institute, I tell them Philemon chapter 1. Amen. Got to have patience with Bible students sometimes. Amen. Look in verse 23. Philemon, verse 23. There salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Amen. There you've got second out of three, second mention of a Christian, a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul. You got this fellow Demas mentioned. Now, let's just note that those both mentions, that the epistle in Colossae, to Colossae and the one to Philemon, both written about 64 A.D., 64 A.D. Now, this is interesting because he's mentioned as a fellow laborer. Fellow laborer. Now, you can put that together in your mind, what that means, if you want. But I want to say this. There's some significance to it just based on the fact that there are only seven fellow laborers of the Apostle Paul, seven that I could find, mentioned by name. Amen. And Demas is one of them. Now, and there are probably others, I'd say the Scripture indicates that, without a doubt. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Amen. Only seven are mentioned in this book. The rest are mentioned in the book of life. In this book, you've got Clement and Timotheus and Philemon. and then Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas. Passage indicates right there that there were some ladies that were fellow laborers of the Apostle Paul. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. I thank God that He's given me a lady that's a fellow laborer with me. And boy, if there's one negative to this meeting this week, it's that my wife's not with me. And again, I spoke to her on the day. And of course, when I tell her what a good time I'm having, I'm really just kind of rubbing it in, because she was looking forward to being here. And part of the reason, I'll say it again, just has to do with the fact that there's a church that's very dear to our heart in New York City that speaks so highly of you. She looked forward to coming as much as me. But the birth of that child, duty calls. Grandmother duty calls. Amen. But I'm glad God's given me a fellow laborer. Amen. And I really am. And so you got Demas mentioned running with a pretty good crowd. Maybe the cream of the crop for the time. Maybe it'd be equivalent to the Bible believer. He's not just saved, man. He's out there. He's doing something for God. Then now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Truth of the matter is, when you mention his name, this is where you go in your mind if you spend any time in your Bible, but it bears to mention the other times.
Yes, right.
2 Timothy chapter 4 tonight, in verse number 9, the Bible says this, and again, Paul writing to Timothy says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." There's where the term ASAP comes from, right there. "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Why? Needed help? Needed help. That's clear in the context of the passage. And he's asking for it. I'll tell you what, you'd do well not to be too proud to ask for help when you need it. Because you're going to need it. You might be doing okay tonight, but you're going to need help. We need each other. Amen. God set it up that way. Verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Amen. You've got, listen, this is written in 66 A.D. 2 years later, after hearing Demas mentioned as a fellow laborer, you've got him now mentioned as having forsaken Paul. And the reason is given. It is not left up to speculation. Someone suggested, well, Paul was probably a hard guy to be around. Probably was. He's extremely dedicated. People don't like to be around people that are real dedicated. Amen. Some of them don't. I know some men of God right now. They're intimidating. They're intimidating. I'm going to tell you, some of them get a bad rap. Some of them are least understood folks in Christianity. Yeah. And then I get the chance to get to know them. And some of them, they're the most gracious, tender-hearted, precious men of God you could ever imagine. Paul was probably kind of intimidating. He got kind of mad at Mark over in Acts chapter 15, didn't he? It caused him to depart asunder from Barnabas. But Barnabas didn't leave Paul because of Paul. I'm sorry. Demas didn't leave Paul because of Paul's personality. Demas left Paul because he got full of this world. Amen? That's what it says. Having loved this present world. Yeah, I just got to imagine this right here. When he was running with Paul and the boys, Luke and the boys, I'll call them, you know, the fellow laborers, when he was running with that crowd, I guarantee you tonight, he never dreamed he'd be remembered like this. Isn't that how you remember him? When I say the name Demas, isn't that what you think of? Yeah, he's the guy that forsook Paul. Amen. That guy did some good. But I got news for you, man. I'll tell you what, what takes years, the testimony and service to the Lord that you can put years into, you can blow it real quick. You got to be careful. Amen? Got to be careful. Listen, knowing these guys, knowing what we know about them, these were tough guys. These guys were Christians. These guys stood up for the cause of Jesus Christ when it cost them. They're in danger of stoning and imprisonment over and over again, even death.
Yes, right.
And this guy wasn't afraid of that stuff. His problem wasn't fear. His problem was he got full of the world. I would say to you, probably, and I'll clarify it. If somebody would have said, Hey Demas, yeah, we was out here on the street today, but I noticed you got some areas in your life, you look like you're starting to stray. Well, if he is like some Christians I know these days, he'd have got mad at you for saying that. He'd have sort of said, do you know what I've done? Do you know where I go? Do you know what I've seen? Do you know what? Blah, 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 blah. I know people that have given a lot of energy to the service of the Lord, but started to get a little worldly. And then when the preacher tried to correct them, maybe with a message that the Spirit of God, instead of going this way, when the message was over, they went that way. With the wrong attitude, with the wrong spirit. I would say that Demas, these fellows here, I mean, look at Peter. When they came to take the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulled his sword, man. He didn't have a chance. They were outnumbered, no telling how many to one, and he was willing to fight and willing to die. These guys were tough guys. Demas didn't sissy out. Something else got a hold of his heart. He got full of the world. Amen? And, I know Christians that are just like that. If you ever implied they're letting some things slip, well, I've seen it happen. They get mad at you. Don't put your standards on me. Don't put your convictions on me. I've got liberty. The liberty that you have as a Christian isn't the liberty to do whatever you want. The liberty you have as a Christian is to live for Jesus Christ in such a way that you acknowledge Him in all your ways and He directs your path. The Spirit of God didn't direct Demas' path this way. I wonder, what happened? This fellow did not go from a prayer meeting or a street meeting or a church service and praising the Lord like we've been trying to do, and worshiping the Lord like we've been trying to do, and encourage other Christians like we've been trying to do. He did not leave Paul and Luke and the others and just walk out of that place, Lord willing, filled with the Spirit of God, and then just stop at a bar and flush his whole testimony down the toilet like that. It didn't go like that. It doesn't go like that now. Subtle. We just start lightening up and letting up, and oh well, that may not be so bad. And let's face it, I've been saved a while, and I've got some victories, and now there's things. Yes, the Spirit of God told me to stay away from, and the preaching and the Bible says to beware of. But you know, I've got some experience now. What he's saying, I watch people get things out of their lives that would hamper and hinder their testimony, and then after being saved 5, 10, 15 years, they let those very things back in because they talked themselves into believing they could handle them. And it's a sad truth tonight, but some of them couldn't be found tonight because they deceived themselves. That Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What are you trying to say? That book says, be sober, be vigilant.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would say Demas must have let his guard down. Wonder if he had a wife. Probably didn't. Not running at the pace Paul ran at, but what about you tonight? Got a spouse? Got children? Got people you got a burden for? What's going to happen to them? You get full of this world. You decide, well, yeah, all that conviction, that, you know, I don't agree with it. What about what the Bible says?
Amen.
What about the importance of your testimony?
That's right.
What about reaching others for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
This world's more interested in how you live than what you have to say.
That's right.
Well, I know people, they get all the terminology right, and they can walk in just right and carry their Bible just right. And at the workplace and at home and at school, man, you can't tell the Christian from the lions without a scorecard. We're Christians on Monday, right? Tuesday? Every day?
We better keep our guard up because I'm going to tell you what, there's an onslaught. And it's always been there. But I got to believe that unlike any other age, worse than ever, this world is capturing the attention and the affection of folks that are saved, that believe that Jesus Christ died for them.
That's right.
Man, now we can't go anywhere without electronic devices. Amen. Everything's lit up. Oh, that's for a reason. To capture our focus. And it does it too, man. I'm not talking about the millions that aren't here. I'm talking about what I see in our crowd. God brought me down here to preach to you. I can stand here and talk about the Pope and Benny Hinn and Joel Osteen and all that stuff all day. And you know, yeah. I'm not here to preach to them.
Amen.
Here to help you.
Amen.
Well, how do you know what we need? I don't. I'm just going to try to say what God said. Because He knows.
He sure does.
And there's a danger tonight. And I know it's true. Why? Because I make the circuit across the country every year. And there's pews that are empty tonight that weren't empty last year. And they're not on the north side starting a church. And they're not on the mission field. Amen. They're just out.
That's right.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you what else. It takes someone else with them. An empty pew discourages young Christians.
Yes,
especially folks that lived for God and charged hard for a while and encouraged and inspired others. The next thing you know, what happened? There's no acceptable collateral damage in this war.
Right.
Jesus Christ died for all. There's victory in the Lord. And He set us up to succeed, not fail.
That's right.
But there's responsibility. I don't want to end up like that.
Right.
And I could.
Yeah.
If He could, I could.
Right.
Why do you think that's in there?
That's
to let us know we could.
Right.
Demons got full of this world. Let me ask you, what are you full of tonight?
Amen.
Having loved this present world is what Demas is remembered for. Let me ask you tonight. What are you going to be remembered for?
Amen.
I hope it's not full of this world. Amen?
Amen?
I hope it's not full of this world. Number one was Demas. Full of the world. Number two, go to 3 John. 3 John, chapter 1. If you can find chapter 2, raise your hand. I preached one time, man, and I said, take your Bible, go to 2 Titus. Yeah, and people chuckled like you did. And as soon as I said it, I knew. And I'm thinking, but I looked up and there were people looking for it. So I didn't say anything. I wanted to see if anybody found it because I'd get them a King James Bible. Amen. We make mistakes, but the Bible doesn't. All right, 3 John, look in verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes... Now let me stop right there and ask you a question. Because you got to clarify everything. This is the most politically correct, oversensitive society. And we have to be even careful around Christians. So I'm trying to learn to have some grace. Say, who's teaching you? My wife, who do you think? I was a biker, she... got a master's degree in psychology. How'd you like to go to college for 5 years and then have one patient the whole rest of your life? I am the only evangelist I know that travels with a staff psychologist. Yeah, and before she got saved, she was accepted to law school. I'd hate to be her only client all my life. I don't need lawyers as much anymore. But my question is this right here. Before I make my little comment, is there anyone in this room named Diotrephes? Is there any Diotrephes here tonight? I have seen Christians name their kids. There's a girl in Tennessee. I feel so sorry. This guy had about 9 kids, and he named one of his... I got to be careful. Let me say it like this first. Is there anybody in here named Rizpah? because I don't want to offend anybody. Say, and so you're going down the list. What's your name? Abigail. Naomi. Rachel. Ruth. That girl's going to catch the blues for that all her life. So you got to check because, you know. So my question was, is anybody named Diotrephes? And nobody answered, so let me just say what I was going to say. Aren't you glad? Amen. I wrote into the church, verse 9, I wrote into the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Diotrephes was his problem. Got full of himself. Yeah. Bible says he loveth to have the preeminence. You know what preeminence means? It means precedence, priority, superiority, power. Yeah, that's what this guy was looking for. The Bible's careful about the way it words itself. And it says that he loveth to have the preeminence. The problem with that is Colossians chapter 1, let me read a couple verses to you. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There's the context right there. In whom we, if you feel a need or urge to say amen at any point in this scripture reading, feel free. It won't bother me a bit. In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Amen.
That's a good place. There's another one. Even the forgiveness of sins. That's one of my favorites right there. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Amen.
I was witnessing on the street one time, and I said, hey, man, can I give you something to tell you about God? He says, what's God ever done for me? I said, take a breath, dummy. I know, I don't have exactly the perfect personality for that kind of work, maybe. But it says by him all things consist.
Right.
Amen. You ought to thank him for the breath you're breathing. I got news for you. He didn't owe it to you.
Right.
All right, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Here's why. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Here you got a church member, maybe even the pastor, I can't tell, but here you got a church member that, boy, he doesn't want this apostle stopping by. He doesn't want the guys that were with him, Demetrius, he didn't want them coming to the church. They might take some of the attention. I know of churches, testimonies of churches in this country, they will not let another preacher come in. They will not let an evangelist come in because the pastor is so insecure, he's afraid his people might like somebody else. That is a sad state right there. Amen? I don't even like being around guys that insecure, wimps. Amen. This guy Diotrephes got full of himself and he loveth. It says loveth. Demas loved the world. But this guy loveth as a preeminence. He had to be in the spotlight. He had to think that everything had to come back to him. He had to have the final word. He had to be the center of attention. And I know some people like that. Amen. The Bible says that in all things he might have the preeminence. I got a quote. I got a brass plate, brass, I don't know, desk thing on my desk at home that says, it was a Ronald Reagan quote. My wife bought it for me. It's identical to the one he had on his desk in the White House when he was president. And it said, I might mess it up a little, but you won't know, probably. it says, there's no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the glory. Who gets the credit, I think it says.
That's right.
And that's the way it is for a Christian. There's no telling what God will let a man or a woman do if they'll just make sure he gets the glory. Man, God lets us not only see great and mighty things, He lets us do great and mighty things. He lets us experience great and mighty things. He set this thing up, according to Colossians 1, weak things, base things, things that are despised. Amen. There's my qualifications for the ministry right there. That no flesh should glory in His presence. And the Bible says in Corinthians, it's mentioned, it. There's a lot of warnings about it in Paul's epistles. It says in 1 Corinthians 8, and if any man think he know anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Amen. I just thought of another verse. Let me see if I can find it. You know, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh. It doesn't say let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. No, it says thinketh. Let me tell you something I've learned now. In 22 years, I've been saved just 22 years. But I've learned this right here. The biggest disappointment that I have with Christianity, you want to hear? Can I vent? Amen. Can I tell you my biggest disappointment? And I've been in church 22 years and been called to preach 21 and been full-time evangelist for 16 years. And I think I've been around long enough, I'm going to make an assessment of my biggest disappointment. I'm going to tell you the biggest problem I have with the body of Christ in 2013. You want to know what it is? It's me. My biggest hindrance to living in a way to please Jesus Christ is me. But the good news is, the longer I'm saved, the better He gets. The longer I'm saved, the more I know that if anything good gets said or done, it's the grace of God. If somebody would have told me back in 1992, Spurgeon, by 2013, you're still going to battle with this, 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 and this. No, I'm not giving you my list, and I don't want yours. Yeah, there's a lot of things I got victory over, but man, I battle with some things. I got something right last night after my own preaching. I went to altar pray, and God said, I talk about walking within your house, and God said, what about that? I went, ah! And I went home and got some things straightened out. I'm responding to what? To the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Amen? Yeah, if somebody would have said, you're not going to be more spiritual than that in 20 years, I'd probably punch them in the nose. Back then, nobody would have been surprised. Amen. Somebody said, you can't hit me. You're saved. You're a Christian. I says, I ain't been saved that long, pal. Yeah. It was fun there for about 5 years. Kept everybody on edge. Nobody, if anybody got a word of testimony, I'd raise my hand. Everybody go, get ready to cover their kids' ears. I don't think I ever slipped. Nobody ever told me. But it's fun. I like keeping people on edge. Now the Lord keeps me on edge. Amen. Paying me back. Go to 2 Corinthians. Let me show you something. We're talking about being full of yourself and the danger of it. Let me show you how much the Lord does not want you to be guilty of that. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now you got the Apostle Paul, and man, I'm telling you what he said in verse 2. I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. Paul has gone to heaven. He's got a glimpse of things that no one else has seen. He's come back. He's a vessel meet for the master's use. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. He's serving God with his whole heart, his whole life. Here's what it says in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted, that's what we're talking about, this preeminence thing. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. In the same verse it says again, lest I should be exalted above measure. What does that mean? Lest I get proud? Lest people give me some preeminence that I don't deserve. Here's the way I look at it. It says it twice. Because there's a danger of being exalted above measure by other people. But it says it again. And there's a danger in being exalted above measure by yourself. Pride's a dangerous thing. I will. 5 times Lucifer said that in Isaiah 14. And when he got done, I'm going to paraphrase, God said, "Oh, no, you won't. Thou shalt be brought down." I don't want to be guilty of what he is guilty of. But it's destroyed men, and it's destroyed women, and it's destroyed preachers, and it's destroyed missionaries, and it's destroyed Christians. Pride. You know, you look over on that list of things that God hates. Yes, the God of love, the God that is love, hates some things. Yea, 7 are an abomination. I looked that up. That means extreme hatred. Whoa, I don't want to be on that list. First thing on it, a proud look. What are you full of tonight? Got King James Bible? Praise the Lord. Got eternal salvation. You know that. You're ahead of 90% of Christianity, and that's probably generous. That's probably conservative. You might be ahead of 99% these days. There's a lot of people going to get straightened out on that at judgment seat of Christ. I'm not. When I get there, I'm not going to be corrected about the King James Bible. I already know that one. I'm not going to be corrected on eternal security. I already know that. But I know there's going to be things I am going to be corrected on. There ain't going to be those two. But I'll tell you what danger is, what our problem is. Boy, it's so easy to start looking down. Oh, we'd never say anything, though, because we're spiritual. We're spiritual. We're Christians. The Bible says in Luke 18, 2 men went into the temple to pray. Both of them going into church side by side, looks like. One of them started bragging on himself. And then said, "Thank God I'm not other as other men are." He was, what, was that a fellow church member? Was it a visitor? Who was it? That's the evidence right there. When you're getting full of yourself. The way you look at others. What are you full of tonight? This world wants your affection. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Why would he have to tell them that? Because this earth, the things of this earth, they don't just want your attention, buddy. They're fighting for it. But, boy, you cannot go that route to end up getting proud of yourself for not going. I heard preachers say it like this. I mean, I like things just simple, man. Like, put the cookies on the first row, on the counter where the kids can read. You understand what I'm saying? I like it simple. You save that deeper life stuff for somebody else. Amen. It's all good. Well, it's got its place, but I like stuff right where you can get it. You know what somebody said to me one time? There's a ditch on either side of the road, and the devil doesn't care which one you're in. So you can be full of yourself over here, or you can be full of the world over here. As long as you're not on that narrow way that leadeth unto life, God, devil don't care if you're super religious or if you're super fleshly, devil don't care. I don't want to be in a ditch. I got pulled out of a ditch.
That's right.
What are you full of tonight? One more. You know, the Bible says this. Preach the word. Be in season. In season, out of season. Reprove. It's kind of negative. Rebuke. That's seriously negative. And exhort. With all long-suffering and doctrine.
Yeah.
So that's 2/3 negative. And exhortation can be negative if you refuse to get right. But we're not going there. 2/3 negative, 1/3 positive. So I've been preaching here. I got 2/3. It's a 3-point message, in case you're wondering. Who has a 2-point message? Amen. Go to anywhere. It's all good. Go to 1 Samuel 17. First Samuel 17. I'm going to give you the third one, a more positive note. There's too much liberty here. Usually when I'm preaching, I'm having more fun than most people, but you guys are having fun too, so that just makes it more fun. All right? Let's look at now. We're going to look at 1 Samuel 17. Now we got Demas and we got Diotrephes. Now we're going to look at David. We'll look at David. We're not going to look at David in a negative light. They say, yes, but David, he did this and he did that and he did this and he did that. Shut up. You know, you can get just enough Bible in you to be dangerous. Let me tell you something. That's the only fellow in that book that it was said of him, a man after God's own heart. Now, God loved David, and David was a sinner. Amen. Good company. But he's a good repenter. Amen. He is a good repenter. Now, so when you hear a name come up where somebody messed up, and you just disregard all the good they ever did, but you remember, yes, he did this. He said Uriah. Aren't you glad God didn't do you that way?
Amen.
Aren't you glad? I mean, don't you hope that the brethren, every time your name comes up, somebody, instead of what you're doing, they go back, oh, yeah, but if you knew what I knew about them.
Amen.
That's the way we are. Amen. It shouldn't be that way. David's one of my heroes. David's one of the greatest men in the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Amen. I love him.
Amen.
All right. So, David, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'll set the stage for you. You know what's going on. This is David and Goliath. And verse 4, 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span. The best I can figure, that's about 9 foot 9 inches tall. That's pretty tall. That's a big boy right there. I don't follow basketball. But I don't think anybody's that tall in the NBA, are they? Amen. Come on, help me out. Don't stop now. Don't dry up on me now. And then it says in verse 5, and he had a helmet of brass on his head. You know, I got to figure anybody that's 9 foot 9 inches of all, 9 foot 9 inches tall is going to have one big head. Well, I just say that because this helmet of brass was probably big. Can you imagine Jack Patterson with a helmet of brass? I mean, think how big that helmet would be. And this guy's taller than Brother Jack. All right, is that going to be on the internet? Okay. I don't care. Amen. He might get whipped me, but he's my friend. Thank God. Amen. You heard that, Jack. All right. It says, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's about 156 pounds, if my research worked out. It says, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. I'm not so sure that was a good idea. Verse 7, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. You know, I tried to figure what that out. That's about three inches. A weaver's beam back in those days is about 3 inches in diameter. So this guy's 9 foot 9 inches tall. You ever see anybody holding a spear? The spear's at least as long as they are tall. And this guy, his spear is could you imagine a 10 foot beam, 3 inches? And that's what this guy's throwing. And it says there's a spearhead on the end that weighs, it says it weighs something 600 shekels. That's 18 pounds. Can you imagine? This is a log, and way out 4.5 feet out from center is a bowling ball. Say, what are you trying to say? Well, here's what the scripture's doing by giving you these details. He's trying to illustrate to you this was one extremely formidable foe.
Yeah,
big guy, okay? And so that's what he looked like. The scripture was careful to describe him to you. And here's what he did. He challenged the whole nation. He challenged the whole army, God's army. And verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. He challenges this whole army. Now, David hears about this thing, and of course he's mad, and is there not a cause? He said in verse 29, and he volunteers to take this guy on, and he's just a young man. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Oh, yeah, that's great. Brother Manny, I love that. And verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep, his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him.
Amen.
Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David was a shepherd, amen, and he was a brave shepherd, and he took it very seriously, amen. And when the flock that he was entrusted with was threatened, the Bible's clear. It tells you what he did. He went out two times, went out after him, and got the lion, got the bear, brought the lamb back. Let me tell you something. I would like to think that with the responsibility that God has trusted me with, that I would be willing to stand and fight and protect. I'd like to think that of myself. But I just got to confess to you, if I was keeping a flock and a lion came and got one of them, I would stand there between that lion and that flock. I'd like to hold that spear and be willing to fight unto death to protect all the rest of them. But that one in his mouth, have a nice day. You got that one. I'm just being honest with you. I can't see it. But not David.
Alright,
so this is the story David tells to convince Saul that I can do this. But the key to this thing is in verse 37. David said, moreover. See, he didn't stop there bragging on himself. He said, the Lord. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Yeah. His confidence wasn't in himself. David was what? He is full of God. He is full of God. There's the confrontation. You get him over in, let me see if I can find what I got written down. 42. And when the Philistine, he's out there and he faces Goliath, and big contrast, you know what I'm saying? And it says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Disdained him. Yuck. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He's a good looking kid. You don't have to be ugly to be tough. It helps some people, but you don't have to be. You can be nice looking and still be tough. Isn't that good? Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine, notice, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. All right? That's what Goliath said. Here's what David said, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God.
Amen.
In Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know how it turned out. Amen. Listen. David didn't win that because he outsmarted that Philistine. He didn't win that because he overpowered that Philistine. David didn't win that because he had more experience. He didn't have any of that. The determining factor in the outcome of that whole confrontation had to do pure and simple with the letter G.
Yes.
It says there in verse 43, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods.
Yes.
Small G.
Yes.
And David went to him in the name of the living God. That's the difference. David was full of God. Amen. His confidence wasn't in himself.
Amen.
It was in the Lord.
That's right.
I tell you what, in the day and age in which we live, it is more important than ever that our confidence be in God too. And truth of the matter is, he can still handle the biggest giant in the land without breaking a sweat.
That's right.
You know, what we need to do is quit trying to handle them ourselves.
Amen.
We need to quit going to God as a last resort.
Amen.
Amen? He'll help you, but boy, the heartache we could save ourselves and one another and the wasted time and energy if we just get in the habit of going to the Lord, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Simple message tonight. What are you full of? If your affections are starting to lean toward the world, well, you need to nip that thing in the bud. That's what the purpose of the meeting is. Give us the opportunity to put the cares of this world on the back burner and focus a concentrated effort for these number of days. Just focus on our spiritual needs. And somebody said like this, you know, leave your cares at the door. Don't worry. They'll be there when you get out. I mean, if you want to pick them up on the way, you might get something in here that'll make them lighter. Yeah, don't let them rob you of what the Spirit's trying to say to you. But I'm going to tell you what, that's easier said than done. I've had to come into the church with things so heavy on my heart, I couldn't just leave them at the door. But I learned to leave them up here. I learned to give them to God. I've left better than I come many, many times. Let me say it again, this world's fighting for our affection. And if you're starting to lean that way, you don't want to be guilty like Demas of being remembered for having loved this present world. Maybe that's what needs to get taken care of tonight. That's not magic, but I tell you what, you need to get God in on helping you. Maybe you're fighting something and it's hard. Maybe you struggled with it for a while. Well, just renew the fight. Get God in on it. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't quit. He didn't quit. He knows us. He knows what we're... He wants to help us. And he does. Believe me, I know. Some of you know. Maybe you've gotten full of yourself. Well, I wouldn't ask for a show of hands, but it's easy to do. It says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Most men. I tell you what, I experience it all the time. And I'm in church almost every night of my life. And I go in and I'll tell you what, within 15 minutes, I get people's whole life story. You know? Not the problems. Well, I do this and I do that. And I've done. I went to a church in Detroit one time up in Westland. I had 12 different men come and introduce themselves to me as the deacon. Well, that church had 12 deacons. I don't come from an organization like that. But I'm thinking, what in the world made them think they need to come and announce that to me for? Because they want to make sure I knew. They were important. They weren't important to me. That verse is contrasted, but a faithful man who can find. Well, what's the context? A faithful man isn't proclaiming his own goodness. A faithful man is proclaiming his goodness. Quit bragging on yourself. Brag on Jesus. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can do so good, you can get so much victory that you become self-righteous. And again, God hates self-righteous.
Amen.
Don't feed the spirit God finds abominable. Any good in you, same as me. It's because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. God will remind you if you forget it. But you'd be better off just don't forget it. Your goal tonight, all of our goal, and you're here on Tuesday night, and there's a good spirit, and it's safe to say I believe that many of you, maybe most of you, maybe all of you, you would agree with this. Your goal ought to be to be full of God.
Right.
Well, I'll give you the key to that. Proverbs 23 and 26 says this, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." I just got news for you. If he has your heart, you won't be full of this world.
All right, amen.
If he has your heart, you're not going to get full of yourself. If he has your heart, it will bother you when either one of those other two attempts to take over.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And amen. I don't doubt. Now, we know Demas had a good start and messed up. I don't doubt Diotrephes had a good start. He's a church member. It looks like he got saved at least somewhere along the way and had some authority, it looks like. So I don't doubt he had a good testimony too at one time. But the Scripture is careful to record how both of them finished. It doesn't ever say Demas got right. Mark did, but Demas didn't. Never said Diotrephes ever. What they're remembered for is this last mention of them. So I just want to close it like this. If your epitaph was written today, how would you finish? What would it say you were full of? World? Yourself? Or of God? My hero in the Lord, Dr. Mike Hanstein, my Bible teacher, Vietnam vet, paralyzed in Vietnam. I got to get in on his design and his headstone. Boy, and it says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And on the back of that headstone, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you walk around that cemetery up there in Beaver Creek, Ohio, and all the backs of the headstones facing you, if you come up from the backside, are blank, except one. And it's got the same scripture they had on the back of his car the whole time I knew him. He's trying to witness from the grave more than some people do out here. But I like that to be said about me if the Lord chooses to tarry. And what about you? Would that be said of you, that you fought a good fight, that you finished your course, that you kept the faith?
Right, amen.
If you be honest, and the answer isn't what you'd like, do something about it.
Amen.
Let's do something about it tonight. Who has your heart? I'm not talking about being perfect. Nobody's perfect. Only Him. The theme seems to be, who's on the throne? Him or you? It says this in Philippians 2. It says, wherefore God also highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow,
amen,
of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And it says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you're in there tonight and you're not saved, you've never confessed that Jesus Christ is who He said He is and He's your Savior, you will. One day, everybody will. But you better do it this side of your last breath. It won't do you any good. Good news is, if you're in here and you're not saved, you can be saved tonight. And it'll do you more good than I can explain to you in the next 10 hours. Let's all stand. Simple message. What are you full of tonight? You know the outline. You know the outline. I won't even repeat it. Maybe the Spirit of God bore witness to something else. If the Lord speak in your heart, speak to Him. Let it be true that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We didn't come to get entertained. And I enjoy church. And we can laugh a little. But it's serious time. And if the Lord spoke to your heart, respond to Him. Don't get mad. Get right.
Amen.
Preacher? Amen.